Good. Would you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter? If you know what we've been doing, I'm just going to recap what we've been doing. We finished Genesis chapter 3. Because chapter 3 finished with God covering them, their nakedness with animal skin after he slayed the animal. So it speaks about the grace of God. So we are doing in-depth study of grace of God. Last week, we studied about the conception of God's grace. This week, we are studying the salvation by God's grace. Let's start. A farmer was preparing to sell the litter of puppies. While he was putting up the sales sign on his farm gate post, a little boy came to him and asked the farmer, "How much is a puppy?" With a squinting eyes because of bright spring afternoon sunshine. The farmer said, "Well, these puppies are pure breed and they're very expensive." Boy fished out the money from his coverall pocket. He pulled it out and a handful of coins, and he looked at it and he counted. He said, "I have 39 cents. Will it do?" The farmer could not stop helping himself, smiling at the boy. He said, "Oh, reckon they'll do just fine." And he turned around and whistled toward his barn. From that barn, you would see the four cutest puppies you would ever seen running out of the barn and toward the fence. Soon as the puppies got to the fence, stick their nose, jumping at the boys and licking boy's hand. Of course, the boy is squatting down and playing with the puppies. From corner of his eyes, he saw a fifth puppy coming toward him, slowly limping. And as soon as he saw the fifth puppy, he said, "I'll take that one." And farmer said, "No, son, you don't want that one because he's a runt and he's limping. He's crippled." And boy started to pull up his pants leg. And he said, he's showing specially made boots. And he's telling the farmer, "I know him, I will understand him, I will be his friend." That's what exactly Jesus Christ did for us. You see, spiritually we are crippled because of our wicked and sinful nature that we are all born with and we are living with. Jesus came to us and became our friend and identified with us by taking our sin upon himself. That is the grace of God. Let's stop and pray. Father, none of us in this room can say we saved ourselves. If we do that, we are in delusional. Father, we know clearly we are saved by the grace of God, you alone. Through Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice, and we accept your kindness and goodness and mercy and grace through your Son. And you wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of our good work, which means nothing to you, but because of your holy and righteous Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you, we adore you, we glorify your name for what you have done for us. Father, as we open our heart to receive your word, you speak to us. We know that our minds often runs into gutter, but only through your Holy Spirit we can understand your truth because he is the one who gives us understanding. We are asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, while we're praying, we also lift up our persecuted brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Because of the name of Jesus Christ, they've been persecuted, they've been killed, they've been mutilated. Father, you're willing, you protect them. All this attack would not come to them unless you allow them. Though we are asking for your protection, of course, we are asking you to give them courage and hope in Jesus Christ. We pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in the country. Father, Remind them, you are the one who is in charge. Remind them, they need to obey you. And if anyone do not know you, Father, we are asking, I pray that they may come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Your word mandate that we are to pray for our leaders. So we're praying that your will be done in their lives. We also pray for our troops, the one in the harm's way, especially. Wherever they are, Father, we are asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. Father, we pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. I heard that another police officer got killed in another part of this country. Father, comfort their family and their friends. And you're willing, you protect them. And we're asking you to also protect the firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start with this. When the question arises, opposed to the great Christian apologist and author C.S. Lewis, when he walked into the room and a group of men was debating what makes Christianity most unique among all the religions. C.S. Lewis said right away, that's easy. That's grace of God. You see, no other religion in the world can compete with the grace of God. And because the concept of God who takes the initiative to respond with undeserved favor to sinners. The great news of Christianity is what God has done to bridge gap of sin and make it possible for sinful human beings to have a forgiveness and fellowship with Him. Theologians have developed a classic definition of grace as God's unmerited or undeserved favor towards sinners. I define a little bit differently. I define the grace as an inexhaustible supply of God's goodness by which God does for us what we could never do for ourselves. It is His gift for us. Am I making sense? Since all of God's dealing with us are anchored in His grace, to miss grace is to miss God's work in history. We are saved by grace, and the only way we grow as Christian is by grace. Any serious study of grace soon take us to the great book that is written by Apostle Paul, is Ephesians, Book of Ephesians. In this book, you will find 12 times Apostle Paul is using this word grace. If you have a King James Version, it will say charity. It's the same thing. And even his salutation start with grace to you in verse 2. So let's go there. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he had made us accepted in the beloved. That is so rich. I'm sure we can spend a couple months in just two verses. The only motivation for this outpouring grace is God's kindness, which is why we will be praising God throughout eternity. Sometimes we need to look back and remember where we once were before so that we can appreciate where we are today. Have you ever had this situation when you are really hungry and your favorite came to the table and the first bite was just scrumptious? As you eat more and more of your favorite food, all of a sudden, the taste of that food starting to going down. It's not the same as perfect as the beginning. Am I making sense? It's easy for us to forget why we are a child of God. it's easy for us to forget the benefit of being a child of God. And it's easy for us to think that, well, we were once horrible sinners. When we see the sinners who are the unbelievers, and you cluck your tongues and you say, I cannot believe they actually do that kind of thing. And only to, we are forgetting that once we were like them. Maybe we should have a remembrance day every so often in church, during which we think back where we were before Christ and remember how desperate and hopeless it was without Him. So we can learn to value God's grace more. And our appreciation of the grace will soar and our spiritual growth will be helped. And when we look back the place where God brought us from. Go to the chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses. Note that, please. Trespasses in and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Would you put the number 1 there, please? According to the prince of the power of the air. Put the number 2 there. The prince of power of the air. And spirit who now walk in. Number 3, the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. And were nature children of wrath, just as the others. Stop there, please. In this verse 1 through 3 of the Ephesians chapter 2, are the dark background against which Paul wants to show us the grace of God. I mentioned this, but it's a good illustration, so I'm going to say it again. When you go to the jewelry store and ask for the particular ring, especially with the diamonds, they don't just hand out the diamond ring itself like that. What do? They bring out the black velvet, don't they? And they set it in front of the black velvet under the bright shining light. It's a good contrast. Black velvet with a shiny stone and with a shining light. This is the background where we were. The background is very dark. And because our natural and unredeemed state, we were totally unacceptable to a holy God. Word trespasses and sin gives a 2 different nuance in our sinful state. To trespass means to depart from the right way. Did you get that? Trespass is depart from the right way. And the sin means to miss mark. As an archer missed the mark, when he misses the bullseye. By nature, we lived in an environment of sin and breathed the air of the rebellion against God. If we really want to see where we were without Christ, we should visit the county morgue. Do you know what the morgue is? I'm sure many of you have seen that nowadays, just about every crime drama shows the morgue, don't they? And that picture is a very sanitized morgue. In real life, the morgue is not that clean. Actually, a very filthy place, in my opinion. We see this Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 is a fundamentally coroner's report. When you go into the morgue, you will see some people who are dead for a while. And they look like a dead people. Discolored, and some of them bloated. But then again, you see somebody who has just been carried into the morgue, and they don't look so bad. Actually, they look better than when they were alive. But one thing in common, they're all dead. Otherwise, they would not be in the morgue. Am I making sense? Spiritually, there are a lot of dead people out in this world. Even though they don't feel dead. As far as they and the people around them are concerned, they don't look dead. And they don't feel dead. But those who are still in their sin are dead spiritually and according to the word of God. We go to a lot of trouble to dress up the death and take the edge off. And don't miss the point. But don't miss the point. We were dead in our sin if, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And it says that there were three nails on our coffins. Number one was the world. Number two is the prince of the power of the air or the devil. And number three is our own sinful flesh. The bottom line is that we were cut off from the eternal life that Christ gives us. Without Christ's sacrifice, the only possibility is eternal death and the separation from God in hell. Somebody asked me, "Hey preacher, God is everywhere, correct?" So I said, "Yes." "Can God be in hell?" He said, "Yes, he can be in hell, but he choose not to be. That's why it's the separation from God. If God choose not to be in heaven, heaven would be also hell. Do you understand me? Heaven is heaven because God is there. Any place God is not there, that would be hell. If you say, well, God is everywhere, but what if there is a person who chooses not to be with God? That person is living in hell. And he will go through more as he will go to the real hell. There's a misconception, of course, the Hollywood make it worse, and the cartoons make it worse. Somehow, devil is in charge in hell. Have you seen a cartoon where the devil is sitting on the throne in hell? It's not like that. Devil will suffer for eternity. And some people will say, well, I'll go to hell with my brusky friends. You ain't gonna have a party there and drinking Budweiser. You will be all alone. Worst part is the isolation, not only from your friend, but the worst part is presence of God. And to make it matter worse, you will clearly know that you have no chance going any other place than where you will be. Catholic people believe that there is a purgatory. Somebody will pray that you will go to heaven through this prayer intercession. No, it's not in this book. Okay? Let me make it very clear. No insult to you or to anyone who is involved with the Catholic, but it's not in the Bible, so forget it. If it's not in the Bible, it's not the truth. Once you drew the last breath and you die, and you do not believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will end up in hell, and that is it. According to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. We all make a choices. Go to the verse 4, please. I'm sorry, before we go to verse 4. The before picture of our standing before God isn't pretty, but thanks to our gracious God, there is after picture. Ephesians chapter 4 begins with the two words, the most important and exciting, life-changing word in the Bible. It says, start with the, but God. And but God are the words that reverse any situation. But God will bring the life where the death exists because of what God has done for us in grace. What am I talking about? Let's go to the verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Let me say one more time. By grace you have been saved. It does not say anything about by work you have been saved. Right? Last phrase is the key. If you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are saved not because of your decision to accept Jesus Christ. You were predestined. You are appointed. And anything else you did doesn't make any difference. But because God took the initiative to reach down and save you by His grace. If you took your children to petting zoo, the little lamb would come to you and start to lick the hands. You are not threatened by it, right? What can a little lamb can do? But let's say while you're in the zoo, there was an alarm goes off, all of a sudden, a lion busts out from the cage. And lion saw you, and he started to prattle and coming at you. And you tried to run from this lion, but he somehow managed to corner you. And he's looking at you with that big cat lion eyes. If lion start to lick your hand, would that be, which one would you feel more comfort? A lamb licking your hand or lion licking your hand? Come on, answer me. Lion. Why? Because you know the nature of lion, do you not? Lion can easily slash you and tear your skin, tear your body, and devour you, bite your neck with one bite, and they will finish the life. Instead of his character, his nature, against his own nature, he lick your hand and love you. That's a different story. And you may wonder, where are you going with this? Grace, and God, let me put it this way. Grace is holy and righteous God's kindness and gentleness to us when he could have backed us into the corner as a guilty sinner and destroy us without violating his holy and righteous character. Just like a lion could easily. But God wanted to make us his children, so instead of expressing his wrath against us, he poured it out on his sinless son on the cross. Jesus took our punishment so God could embrace us. Make sense? Go down to verse 5 of chapter 1 back there, please. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Stop there again. There is a song that is so well known to believers and unbelievers alike. Though the vast majority of the world population really don't understand the depth of this meaning of this song lyrics, they all acknowledge that it's a great song, it's a wonderful lyric. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. You know this song, right? But do you know the background story of the man who wrote this song? John Newton. John Newton was only 7 years old when his godly mother died. He was torn over to his relatives. And he was raised by the relatives. And pretty soon he forgot all the scriptures his mom taught him. By the time he became an apprentice seaman, he acquired a knowledge of different kinds. He said this, he could string all the cussing words in a row without repeating for 2 hours. Talking like a sailor, true nature. Later he joined the British Navy, but he could not tolerate the discipline that was required. And soon he deserted and fleeing to the Africa so that in his own word, I might sin my fill. Eventually, however, he fell into the hand of Portuguese slave trader. For a month, the chief woman of the trader's harem treated him like an animal and beating and forcing him to dig through food from the garbage, dig through the garbage for his food. Finally, in starvation and rage, Newton managed to escape and found his way to the shore of Africa, where he was picked up by the passing ship. Because he was a skilled navigator, he earned the position of first mate. When the captain was ashore overnight, he chose to release the case of rum to all the seamen, and they got all drunk. When the captain came back to the ship, he realized what John Newton did. He beat him so hard that he went overboard. He would be dead if it were not for another drunken sailor. He harpooned this man with the boat hook on his thigh. and yanked them up to the ship. It was a massive wound. Some weeks later, that the ship near the coast of Scotland, it sailed into the storm, almost sank. He was manning the pump, and in this storm, he was sick and vomiting and crying out to God, whom he forgot for a long time. The God, his mother taught. And he cried out to God for his mercy. And God miraculously spared his life and changed his heart that day. John Newton emerged from this experience, became a chaplain of the England's Parliament. He even preached before the king. Despite of his vile past, this man would later called by many, second founder of the Church of England. It was he who wrote this soul-stirring word, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, and blind, but now I see." You see, the salvation comes from the faith in Jesus Christ, nothing else. And we can only receive salvation by the principle of grace through faith. Grace cannot be obtained through works, whether they may be past, present, or promised. Because of definition, the grace is given without regard to anything in the one who receives it. Am I making sense to you? God's grace was wonderful and a lifelong goal that reached even beyond his initial gift of salvation. God determined that our destiny was to become his adopted children. For us, as God's elected and his adopted children, this inheritance included every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. As Christian, too many of us are still living in the spiritual ghetto, even though our daddy owns everything. Many of us have not spiritually grown up to discover all of our right and privilege in Christ. I'm not saying if you name it, you can have it. If you claim it, you'll get it. I'm not one of those faith movement teachers. You know by now. You can live in heaven while you're still on earth. What am I speaking about? What am I talking about? You're a child of God. Are you not? Are you not? Yes. If you're born again, you're a child of God. If you're not born again, don't pretend you're a Christian. Because God clearly says in the Bible, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. If you're born again Christian, you have that privilege, knowing that you have that hope. That's a part of the heaven. And you can exercise, as a child of God, you can exercise a privilege while you're living on earth. You can introduce Jesus Christ to others. Remember what I said before. There's something better than going to heaven, taking somebody with you. Grace of God calls for the response on our part. Not to try to pay for what we have, but out of the overflowing gratitude for what God has done for us. Next Sunday, we will learn about how we can grow in Christ, which the Bible calls the process of sanctification. I have three reminders for you. Number one, in the realm of grace, the word deserve does not apply anywhere. Did you get that? Very important. You don't deserve grace of God. I don't deserve grace of God. I deserve hell. Second reminder. God saved you for himself, for fellowship. God saved you by himself without any part of our work. And God saved you from himself, sparing us from his wrath. Third reminder. Until we have a heightened awareness of our own wretchedness, we'll never understand how amazing grace really is. You agree? Let's stand up and pray.